listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 181 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, and joining me is Chris Robley. Chris, how are you?
Doing all right.
I wasn't very enthusiastic. It's Friday. Come on.
I know. Hey, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, just like I predicted, right?
That's right. That's right. Welcome back to your football episode of...
Was that two episodes ago we were doing the football?
Yeah, that was two episodes ago. Yes.
No, I'm okay. I mean, I'll just ignore the outside world for a second and say my inner life is great. I've been doing a new series of... what would you call it? It's kind of like a poetry reading mixed with a rock concert sort of thing. I get four different artists together every month at a venue, and we do a reading and a musical performance, and it's been great. We did the first one last month, and it was a packed room, and everyone loved it, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I saw pictures online about it. It looked interesting. I saw you were posting photos about it.
Yeah, and I like that... I'm into this. It's at 5:30 in the afternoon, so it's, you know, it's a very adult kind of
respectable
show.
Respectable.
Very adult. And I like that with the four different people, they're all bringing their own, you know, fans, so there's not the pressure on me to draw every single time.
Yeah, that's right. Let people bring their own fans. I'm tired of trying to get my fans out to shows. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's another good idea. Another good idea by Chris Robley. I'm excited. Small Town Poets, we're gearing up to go record at Ardent Studios in Memphis in a couple weeks.
Nice.
It's coming up on the 20th anniversary of our debut album, which was recorded there, and we're the following two albums. And so we're looking to do something to sort of, I wouldn't say bookend is not the right word. It's another story plot point. That's how I've been explaining it, that we don't have to go there to do this, but we want to go there is a way to sort of join both halves of our band story together and echo back to the beginning of where it all started. So very excited because that studio is amazing and the gear there is mind-blowing, and we'll be there for 4 days.
Is, what's his name? Jody? Is that the guy's name?
He's still there.
He's still there? All right.
Yeah, if anyone's interested...
I don't know him. I just know of him, but...
He's a super nice guy. If anyone's interested in seeing Ardent Studios, it is prominently featured in the Big Star documentary that is on Netflix, and Jody's their studio manager, but he's also like the main guy from Big Star, and the studio we will be in is featured prominently, the actual... room, because they've got like three rooms there, but the room we'll be in is in that video a whole lot. So that was our stomping ground for recording back in the heyday, and it was always weird. I was telling somebody last night that, you know, one day I was tracking guitars, it was just me and our producer sitting in the room, and someone walked in behind me while I was tracking, because I was sitting in the control room, and I turn around, it was Robert Cray, and I'm like, dude, I can't keep recording guitars here while you're standing there watching me. It's like, I'm embarrassed to even be holding this thing in front of you.
Does he just have like a disappointed look on his face the whole time?
Yeah, it's like, what is that racket I'm hearing? I can't concentrate. No, our producer was also getting ready to produce something for him, and so they were in a different studio working on some stuff, and... So yeah, so that's fun. It's always exciting to get in the studio, but it's even more fun when, you know, it's just gonna be us, and we're taking a videographer. We actually paid to fly a videographer just in case, you know, got to practice what I preach. And we're gonna try and put together some little video stories while we're there, and should be good. Should be really good.
How far are you flying this videographer from?
He's in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh.
He's a friend of one of the other guys in the band that has done some really nice video work for him. He's also a musician and artist as well. But we're bringing a posse. You got to travel with a posse these days.
I thought that was what you did in the 90s, but okay, cool.
We're bringing it back.
Nice.
All right, we've got a good episode ahead of us. We had a great episode before this. Man, the website was on fire when we emailed out about this episode of How to Get Your Songs on Spotify Playlist Part 1. And the comment section is going nuts. I highly encourage you to check out that episode. It's the one before this one. So if you're new to the podcast, you are on episode 181, which is How to Get Your Songs on Spotify Playlist Part 2. I highly recommend you go back and listen to Part 1 if you have not already. In fact, Part 1 is probably worth giving a couple listens to, because I plan on going back and listening to it again, because there's so much stuff in there about how playlist works and the opportunity that it's really worth checking out.
Yeah, and for me, it was listening to it was a nice recap of what he had talked about in the seminar he gave at our conference last year, which was great. So, you know, he hit on a lot of the same major points, which was nice to have the reminder.
Yeah, Charles was at the DIY Musician Conference in Chicago, and he will be at the DIY Musician Conference, as far as I know at this point, in Nashville coming up in August. So definitely come. If you liked that last episode and you like this topic, then you need to be at our conference, because that is what it's all about. And it's just so inspiring and, I don't know, just motivating, talking about these things, feeling like there's real opportunity that you can grasp and understand how things are working.
The thing I liked most about both his interview with you and then the talk he gave is that it's really like this step-by-step thing. And, you know, he started off by saying, you know, you don't just sort of show up one day and have this major placement of a song on a big curated playlist. But, you know, you, like most things in life, you have to work your way towards there. But, like, he gave these real concrete steps you can do to kind of slowly build your presence, get Spotify to take notice, you know, have their algorithm looking out for new music from you. And, you know, kind of over the long haul, you have this strategy where suddenly this giant goal seems very realistic.
Yeah, I think what I have taken away from all of this is that there is a giant shift. And it's not just that people aren't downloading it, streaming. It's that it's a giant shift in what the concept of digital music retailing, I would say. And it's not about people going into a store and buying a CD or buying a download. Those things still happen and are still great revenue streams for you as an artist. But when people were so scared of streaming, they were relating the idea of streaming and the streaming platforms with that mindset. And these are different things altogether. They're platforms that are moving music around in different and unique ways and allowing people to curate music that you can't do in a store environment. I can't go to the iTunes store and start curating music and organizing it the way I want to organize it and make that available to other people. And I definitely, you know, you can go to a retail store and start moving your CDs to the front. that's about all you can do. But I think it's really getting out of the mindset that it's not a retail experience anymore. It's a listening curation experience. And the difference is huge and very important to understand.
Yeah, and that difference also allows for this thing where, I know we've talked about this in the past, but with streaming playlists, you can recontextualize the same old song 1,000 different ways. So, you know, if you've got a song that you recorded 20 years ago that, you know, suddenly you have this idea, oh, we used a Mellotron on that song. Maybe I can make a playlist of a bunch of songs that have Mellotron. Like, suddenly you found this new interesting way of getting that out there, and it has new life just because of what's surrounding it.
Yeah, and there's things that people are looking for. When you walk into a store and you have the retail mindset, it's like, I am looking for a specific product. And in music, the case of music, it's like, I'm looking for a specific album or a specific artist. And that's basically all you could search or look by. Where on streaming platforms and, you know, even things like Pandora, people are looking and searching for so many different things. The artist and the song and the album are just a small piece of it. The song's probably the biggest piece as far as like them searching for specific songs in those, you know, what we're sort of used to. But it gets so much bigger than that when you start talking about all these other things people want to do when or how they want to experience music or the way they think about music and go looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, for better or worse, and probably both depending on the context, but like the experience is primary and then the artist or the particular song is secondary to to the experience you're searching for.
Yep, exactly. So we're going to be talking about that more today, and we've got some specific notes that we wanted to pass along that were sort of the part two of what Charles talked about. And Chris and I have been doing a lot of experimenting on playlisting for our own music, and we've seen some interesting things, and we've seen some things that didn't work, or just some learnings that we've had along the way that we wanted to talk about. And we have a lot of tips. We don't have news today because we're going to just focus on this. But I will say we need to take a moment and mention that for the month of February, you can distribute your music at CD Baby for $29 an album. No annual fees. It gets your music everywhere. $29. It's just a coupon code called Now You Know. And if you want to save $20 off a pro album submission, you can do that as well. It's Now You Know Pro. And it's our biggest sale of the year because it lasts all February long. It's one day shorter this year because February only has 28 days this year.
I know.
But you got to get your music out there, and you got to get your music on these platforms like Spotify. And the cool thing that with Spotify and that we have is we have these amazing trending reports now where you can see day by day what's happening with your music. So as you're trying these tips and tricks and playlisting ideas that we're talking about on these episodes, you can see that effect of your marketing efforts, and it's really cool. It is so motivating. I was, you know, we'll be talking about it in a minute, some of the playlisting success I was having over the Christmas season, and I just go, man, I need more music to distribute. I got to get it out there. I'm going to try these things and see what I can do, because I'm getting real-time feedback that makes it so much more of a it's just fun and strategic. You know, releasing music, it's not just about throwing it out there and going, well, I hope someone finds it. It's like, now I can see where the opportunity is. So take advantage of our offer this month, February, the $29 album distribution offer. And you can head over to members.cdbaby.com/promo to get all the details. But this is the time to get it out there. And I'm just super excited about the state of things and the ability for independent artists to make things happen with their music and influence what's going on. So there you have it. I wanted to talk about the five basic playlist categories. I kind of broke them down into five basic playlist categories. There seem to be still some questions about the types of playlists. And for people who haven't really been Spotify users or knowing or haven't experienced what's happening with the playlisting and all that, I wanted to talk about that for a minute. So the five basic playlist categories I thought of, and Chris, if I forgot anything, feel free to let me know. One, mood. A lot of the major playlists are curated around a mood, and you know, it's like, how will this playlist make people feel, or how do they want to feel? And some of the examples I saw on Spotify were mellow beats, deep focus, atmospheric calm, life sucks, coffee. And then we have our couple playlists we just launched at CD Baby. One is called Chill Piano and Coffee Shop Vibe. So they're all things that are sort of evoking a mood or emotion. A lot of them are based around relaxation or stress reduction. Must be a big problem these days. Then the next one I had was, a lot of them are curated around a theme. So how do these songs fit together, or what, or maybe what the user themselves are doing, like exercising. There's a lot of exercising playlists that are like high energy. There's party playlists. There's road trip playlists. There's around a season. So lots of theme-oriented playlists. Then the next one I have is genre-based. This one's pretty obvious. And there's ones like UK rock, top hip-hop tracks. Or one of them I saw was The Pulse of Americana. So very much clear that this is just a curated list of a specific genre. Then number four that I had were brand-oriented playlists. And you see this with things like Pitchfork, Billboard, Top 100, and, you know, just where you see that the brand name is sort of the driver of the playlist and less about what the user may be getting out of it. And you know, when you click on a Pitchfork playlist, you probably have an idea of what you're going to get, but there's other brands that I'm sure will start doing this and are doing it, like Red Bull's playlist, you know, and stuff like that, where it's like, it's really the brand name that's driving it. And then the last one I had was auto-generated playlists, and this is the Discover Weekly playlist, and there's like a Discover Daily playlist. These are ones where the Spotify system, based on the algorithm that's happening in, you know, based on their algorithm and what the user is doing, curates playlists, and it's quite good. They're quite good. So those are the top, like the five. If I said, here's just to give you the lay of the land of, you know, what is working on Spotify as far as how people are approaching playlists, these are the basic ones that are out there that I think a lot of almost everything falls into.
So you took that in a completely different direction than I thought you were going when you said the five basic playlist categories. Because for me, I was ready for you to talk about the sort of difference in the curation process. So I mean, we could review that, but basically,
let's do that. That'd be good.
The official Spotify curated playlists. Those are the most trafficked, the most promoted. Spotify's internal editorial team creates those. And then there are, you mentioned branded playlists. So that would be like, you know, all the major labels have their own Topsify and their own branded playlist, companies, Pitchfork, and so forth. And I think one interesting thing to say about that is that in terms of credibility, it behooves those companies to not just pick from their own stable of artists. So like even the major label playlists go outside of their label catalog to populate their playlists, which I find interesting, and, you know, it makes a somewhat more well-rounded listening experience. But anyways, we got internal Spotify, we've got branded. You did mention the auto-generated ones like Discover Weekly. And then there are, you know, your own playlists that you make yourself. And if you are a verified artist on Spotify, you can join your user profile with your artist discography page and then promote your playlists right from your artist page, which is cool. And then there's other people's playlists that, you know, they're curated to various degrees and promoted to various degrees. And then the last kind is collaborative playlists, where multiple Spotify users can modify and make changes to the list of songs. And then, you know, if at some point one of the, you know, the original creator wants to set it in stone, they can change it back to, you know, not collaborative. But yeah, so for me, that's where I thought you were going with the playlist categories.
No, that's good. That's good. That's why we're both on the show.
I have a purpose. Yes.
No, I think it was good because you added some stuff. The collaborative playlist is something that I found out we have one at CD Baby, and it was just kind of an experiment, and we're starting to do more with it. But you mentioned the idea of getting verified. We won't go into that in great detail here. You've written an article on the DIY Musician blog about how to get verified. And yes, once you have a profile, an artist profile that's verified, you can join that account, and it does allow your playlists to look like they are, they look like they're a part of that artist profile. So for example, my personal Spotify account, my username is K Bruner. So if you want to follow me on Spotify, that's where you'll find me. But for my band, Small Town Poets, I created a separate Spotify account with that as the username, and then we got verified, and now those accounts are attached. So it does give us some merchandising ability with playlists, and you can update photos and everything like that. So that's something that's worth reading up on. We won't go, like I said, won't go into too any more detail about that right here, because that could almost be a whole episode in and of itself.
Yeah, one thing that you can do once you're verified is pin one of your playlists to the top of your artist discography page for, you know, I don't think it's a super long amount of time, but maybe a week or two. But So if you create a new thing, you're trying to get followers for it, you can post it even above your, you know, latest releases.
Yeah. And those are just some of the cool things. Like I was mentioning, that this is a platform that's allowing access and artists to do things that doesn't happen in the retail experience. And so I think this is really cool and allows you to curate some of your music or however you want to use that to your advantage. So we listed some basic playlist types and on both, you know, who's making them and how they're made and the general buckets of playlists that seem to be working. Before we dive into our tips, because we've got a big list of tips for artists creating playlists, you and I have been doing some experimenting, and so we should probably talk about that. And then, because a lot of the experimenting that we've been doing has fueled some of our tips, and yeah. Do you want to start, or I can start?
Yeah, sure. So when I really started diving into Spotify, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or so, after, you know, it's been around forever, I finally got converted after listening to Charles's talk at our conference. I made the mistake of, you know, making a bunch of playlists. I probably created 5 off the bat. And so I quickly realized that I think most important is that you should be making a playlist that you're passionate about and that you're going to be motivated to, you know, update frequently, because if you're not, what's the point? You know, there's no point in following a playlist as a user if it's just a static thing. You know, you could just listen to it once and be done with it. So for me, the playlist that I ended up being the most inspired by is called Lyrics in the Limelight, which might be a terrible title, but for me, I wanted to make a list of all my favorite lyrics, things that I thought were poetic or, you know, taking risks. So that's the one I've ended up focusing on the most. Yeah. And at some point, you know, you mentioned you can change the title of the playlist. I might at some point consider switching it to something more keyword friendly, but
yeah.
What do you think of that title? Not keyword friendly enough? Too vague?
I think it's a good title. I don't have a problem with that title.
I did put genre and artist info in the little, you know, playlist description. So
it might be something that you want to mess with over time, but I think that was a fine title. In fact, when you first posted it, I was like, yeah, did he make that? Or was that one of, you know, a playlist? Were you posting a playlist that you got your music in? Because I thought, oh, that's a good title.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I'll keep it then.
I would assume that it would be for people who like artists who lyrics are a big part of their craft.
Yeah. Yeah. So it ends up being mostly sort of singer-songwriter and Americana folk pop. But I try to keep it somewhat more diverse than that.
Well, some of my playlisting experiments were fueled by the fact that due to the newly launched CD Baby trending reports, this year we found out that there was a playlist, because in those trending reports you can see the playlists that are featuring your music. And there are some rules that before they pop up on that list, I think Spotify only reports on playlists that have 100 active users, I think, over the course of a month. I think that's what I've been told. I haven't read that anywhere officially, but from folks like Charles and some people at work who interface with Spotify, that's what I've been told. So in that list, some playlists started popping up for our Christmas albums as, you know, like the week before Christmas. I started looking in there, and well, one of them was this playlist that suddenly was just driving thousands and thousands of plays. So over the course of from Thanksgiving to Christmas, basically about 5 weeks, we got 35,000 plays from this one playlist. And the thing that was fascinating to me was that this playlist breaks all the playlisting rules, which I think you have some key ones that we'll discuss in a minute, Chris. But it was just a random user had created this playlist. And I think part of the reason why it was generating so many plays is because the way people engage with holiday music might be different. And that's one of the things that Charles didn't... I think I asked him at the very end of the interview, and we started talking about this, but I talked to him a little bit after I stopped recording, so I can't remember what actually made the cut or not at this point. But anyway, so this playlist, it was just a random user. It wasn't like a person that's trying to be a music curator. The playlist had been there, I think from what I could tell, since 2011, and I think it just was somebody stumbled into some good keywords for the title of their playlist before there was, you know, tons of these playlists. And the playlist has about 12,000 followers, a little bit more than that. And what was surprising to me was with that amount of followers, how many plays we were getting, because there is 60 hours of music on this playlist.
60 hours. Oh my God.
So, yeah. So clearly the people that were listening to this playlist were just putting it on through the whole Christmas season and probably putting it on random, you know, just shuffle mode. And that was driving a lot of plays for us. And I was shocked. When I found the playlist, I'm like, oh, what's going on? This playlist is driving a lot of views. And I clicked through. If you really want to dig, go to our profile, you can find the playlist. But, the picture of the user, it's a guy in the Midwest, I think. And his user picture, he's wearing camo and holding a machine gun. So this is not like Pitchfork's Christmas playlist, you know. And so to me, it was like, it was sort of an aha moment, because it was like, okay, you know, I'd heard Charles talk about big playlists, and it's like, okay, I need to forget these top playlists, just like Charles was saying, and I need to dig deep. I need to do a little bit more homework and dig as deep as possible, because can I get next season four more of playlists like this by guys like this who have a following of maybe like 12,000 followers on their playlist to add our music? That seems very doable. And to me, I'm like, okay, if I took 35,000 streams just from this one playlist and multiplied it by four, that could be really good. You know, and that starts to seem more tangible. And also just how much activity was coming from this playlist that I didn't even know existed before, you know, having access to those trending reports. And realizing in a streaming world, the opportunity could be huge. You know, get 10 guys like this. We haven't even touched like big giant playlists, you know.
And it's perfect. It's so perfect that it's Christmas music too, though, because like you said, a lot of businesses are just tapping into these playlists almost like they're a utility. It's like you turn the lights on, there's Christmas music, you know, for the season, and then you shut them off. So there probably isn't a whole lot of specific, requesting by artist or song. It's just, you know, more so with Christmas music, I think, than your typical playlist. So,
yeah, I would say that thing with holiday music and some of the other genres that are out there, and even with some of the moods, I think what it was a realization is that, you know, that a lot of this music, like you're saying, is being used more like a utility. It doesn't mean people aren't paying attention. It doesn't mean they're not enjoying it and then you're just elevator music. But it just is, they're not going to these platforms just to go, I got to hear the latest and greatest music. I've got to hear the you know, what was released this week. Some people are going, I just want to find a good Christmas playlist that I can put on and listen to through the whole season. So where this playlist broke a lot of the rules, where, like I said, it was 60 hours long. There was a lot of full albums dropped in. Both of our albums were dropped in as full albums, which aren't recommendations, but it was working. And people are obviously just putting on shuffle and listening. So I was just shocked that 12,000 followers, they must have been, you know, those were 12,000 followers that were really listening. And the cool thing was, looking at it, that next year, we'll probably get those again, because his followers will probably grow for that playlist because he's got some good keywords. And I noticed that, you know, going back and looking through after talking to Charles, that the playlist has been around for a while. So it's the beauty of Christmas music. It keeps on giving every year.
Yeah. Isn't the year in the title of the playlist, and he probably just changes the year name?
No, there was another playlist that that was giving us a decent amount, not anywhere close to this one, but was giving us a decent amount of plays. And it did have like Christmas something 2016, and they probably are just changing it every year. So yeah, so interesting stuff around that. So what, after seeing that, and I'm like, okay, when I first saw that playlist pop up, I thought, I need to get on more playlists. I need to encourage our fans to get add us to playlists. And so I emailed out our fan list and asked them to follow us and asked them to add to playlist. And also that same week, a big blogger posted about our Christmas albums. He's not a music, he's in kind of in the political realm, but he just randomly posted, "Oh, I've been meaning to tell you guys you should follow Small Town Poets." So that week, I don't know if it was a combination of that or our fan emailing our fans asking them to add us to playlist, we popped up on like 8 more playlists like within a couple of days. So even just emailing your fans and asking them to add you to playlists, you could have a fan in your ranks, even if your list isn't even that big, that has a massive playlist and they just haven't thought about putting your track in it.
Yeah, and one thing Charles mentioned in the previous episode is that the most important thing really that Spotify is looking for is whether or not your song has been heard in a playlist and then added, you know, sort of dragged over to the user's own playlists. That's sort of the gold medal for Spotify saying that's a song worth paying attention to. So the more that happens and the more you can encourage your fans to go to one of your own playlists and drag their favorite songs to their own, that's going to increase your chances of ending up in Discover Weekly playlists and, you know.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And I had that on the list of tips that he mentioned, that you want to email your fans and not just ask them to add to your, you know, like the add us to your Christmas playlist, but actually save it to your, like your Spotify library, because that starts their system connecting bigger dots on behalf of your music, because they'll start saying, oh, a lot of these people that like this band also like this, so we'll start recommending this track out to other folks who fit the similar profile. So the next thing I started doing after seeing this happen, and that whole experience with that playlist leading up to Christmas really helped solidify some things in my mind about how big this opportunity is and how it really works. And just some of the, there was more playlists that, you know, added our music and had interesting learnings from. But so I decided that I was going to start my own playlist. Well, first I did one for our band. I created a playlist for our band and put both our Christmas albums in it with some other Christmas tracks that we like. And we asked our fans to follow. And we got about like close to 50 followers on that. But it was, that happened like a week and a half before Christmas. And so you're it's up against the clock at that point. But those people are on that playlist. As we start heading into next year, I'll start doing some things to, you know, ramp that playlist up even more and just get people listening to our music. But I tried, I thought I need to get out of this Christmas mode, because all this, the tracks that I have where I can get the data from are Christmas albums. And so I thought I'm going to create an instrumental post-rock playlist. That's a genre that I love. So I created that playlist and started marketing it. I put it on Instagram, tagged all the bands, and got tons of likes on Instagram. And the first time I posted it, I got 0 followers.
Well, I was going to mention something about that for mine. I mean, I still have a super modest following on that lyrics one. I think I have 10 followers or something. But every time I add songs, I make an image for Instagram with 4 of the new artists that have been added. I tag them. I, you know, go through all that. And every time I do that, I think I'd probably do that once a week or once every other week, I end up getting followers, you know, like 1 or 2. But it made me think, like, really, like, being incessant about it on Twitter and Instagram, I think might be a way for me to, you know, to be way more incessant than I've been doing it once every other week. But I feel like it's an effective, like, slow growth strategy.
Yeah, and I did it again. I updated the playlist and added more tracks and moved it around and posted again, and I doubled my followers. I went from, I had 2 followers, and I'm up to 4 now on that playlist.
So do you think it was just luck?
No, that time, actually, the thing is that's interesting, and I'm getting, that time I got a lot of activity on the post. I actually got people recommending bands, both on Twitter and on Instagram, people were liking the post. Even these, some of these bands, I think the first post, I think, like, you know, Explosions in the Sky was one of the bands that I tagged. They're one of like the you know, the top tier band in this genre. And I think they even liked the post, but it's just a matter of like how getting people from liking the post to going, oh, that's a cool idea, it's cool, to actually going over and listening to it and then following it, because a lot of these people could have been listening to the playlist. They don't have to follow it to listen to it. So it was just interesting tagging. I used a lot of hashtags, and the hashtags on Twitter seemed to be getting a response, like people recommend, hey, you should add this band, you should add that band, and I was responding, yeah, you should follow this playlist.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of something else that I think, you know, for mine, obviously I've got Leonard Cohen and John Prine and like Mary Gaucher, like you're sort of the people most people think of as great lyricists. But I've also added a number of people that are kind of like, well, are also great lyricists, but, you know, not nearly as well known. So there's a girl named Heather Steika who has a song I really liked. I added it. And then when I tagged her, she actually shared it or retweeted it, you know, with her folks, which is way more likely with someone at her sort of level in this game than, you know, Bob Dylan's not going to retweet my thing about adding a song. But like, so if you have a mind for adding, you know, the type of artist who's going to be motivated to share this news with their fans as a, you know, badge of validation or something, like it might be worth it to be on the lookout for lesser known artists.
Yeah, and also, you mentioned being more persistent with it. I know that's, I've made two posts about it. So it's not like, this playlist is more of an experiment for me, that I love that style of music, and it's actually come together to be a very nice playlist. I'm like, huh, I really like this playlist now. But when I started, it was just an experiment, because I do some of that kind of music too, and I had a track in it, and I really wanted to see what things, in, you know, because I could follow the impact on that track and try different things with a playlist. But I think on an opportunity to promote a playlist would be like to tag people in Twitter with like their handles and hashtags and kind of keep doing that to pull people in and get it to grow.
You mentioned, you know, adding one of your own songs to the playlist. I mean, maybe this is completely obvious to our audience of artists, but ultimately, that's what we're trying to talk about. Getting your song or songs like into these playlists that you're creating to drive listenership for your music. You know, I'm motivated to make this Lyrics in the Limelight playlist, but mainly it started as a way of putting one of my songs in there too to drive some extra streams.
Good point. If it wasn't clear that this experimenting that with some of these playlists that Chris and I have been working on have been to like, okay, I'm going to create one from scratch. I mean, it's easy to go, hey, that this random person put us in their playlist that's got a lot of followers, and that's great. And it's a great strategy to go after some of those folks and, you know, then work your way up and start trying to connect with bigger and bigger playlist curators. But also there's the strategy of how can I build this from scratch, and how can I do something that generates plays for my music in a way that's engaging to people, and it's also tapping into people that may not already know who I am and aren't just my mega fans. So that's sort of where this experimenting has come out of. So with that, I've got some tips.
I've got some tips too.
You mentioned my first one already, but I'm going to reiterate it. Try to build an audience for one or two playlists. Don't create a ton of playlists. A good idea is something like a playlist of your set night after night, like if you're on tour, that someone's updating every night. But a bad idea would be creating a new playlist for every show you do of that set. You can do it, but it's not going to build an audience. And I think in the past we may have mentioned, hey, you should make a playlist for every show. And now that we're in it and doing it more, that's a bad idea. You want to limit the playlist as much as possible, because you want to have the activity focused, so when you do make updates and have something new, that people get notified and they go back and listen, and it's an engaging thing. So if you are a band that's on tour a lot and you have mega, mega fans, doing a nightly playlist, a show set list playlist, might be interesting if your set changes night after night. If you're playing the same set every night, that may not be interesting. But that's an idea of like, you want to focus things down. So if you have an idea for a playlist, you want to keep it to as few as possible. I mean, if you've got some good ones rolling and you got 10, that's fine. But if you're like starting new playlists constantly and wondering why you're not building an audience, it's because you keep fracturing your audience. You want to focus it down. So that's a very important tip. What do you got, Chris?
Oh, okay. We're gonna go back and forth. All right, let's see. So I already mentioned build your playlists around your interests, which kind of helps with your tip of really focusing things. Update them on a regular schedule. I would say, you know, once a week is great. But what did Charles say? You know, if it's more than 3 months, it's starting to look like a dead playlist. And then one thing that Spotify's algorithm prefers is that when playlists feature only one song per artist. So obviously, if you're, you know, creating playlists that are entirely composed of your own music, ignore this tip, you know, for this set list example. But if you're trying to seed one of your songs into a playlist, then just do one song at a time. And then once your song cycles out, add a new one. But
my next tip is think about good keywords when you name the playlist. People have to type something in to find this. If you get a little too cute with the idea, it might make it hard for it to be found. There's lots of playlists on Spotify, so you can see, browse through there and see things that are working, things that aren't. Do some searches, see what comes up, see what doesn't. But that's an important one. And cover art helps. You can add cover art to your playlist. It's not mandatory. I've seen some huge playlists that don't have cover art. If you don't upload cover art for your playlist, they'll just pick 4 random album covers from that playlist and make it into a, you know, an image for that. But cover art helps. But if you're going to make cover art, make sure it's obvious what the playlist is when they look at it. Don't put a bunch of junk on it. This isn't your place to put your band URL and all this marketing. Just make it clear that this is what the playlist is. And ideally, the image adds interest and reinforces that playlist idea. So that's what you want to, that helps. And that when people are searching, the way it works, usually they're just seeing the cover, like the description. Unless they click through, they won't even see the description of the playlist. So it's very helpful to add that in if you have the ability to.
Yeah. One of my tips, I would say that the best playlists have between 20 and 60-ish songs. Any less than that seems a little scarce because, you know, people like to hit play. They got their headphones in. They do a couple hours of work or you know, whatever. So if it's got at least 20 songs, it's a decent amount of time. And then beyond 60, I feel like gets just unwieldy. And, you know, at some point, no one's going to listen that far into it. So better to just make frequent updates to your playlist and cycle songs out of the playlist once it gets beyond that point.
And I believe Charles said that if a playlist has less than 20 tracks, Spotify won't feature it. Pretty sure he said those exact words. Because they don't want to be pitching a 5-song playlist to somebody. That's not a playlist. That's a EP.
It's a various artists EP. Yeah.
It's a very artist EP. My next tip is get your playlist posted on a website. You'll notice that when you first create your playlist, no one can find it. That's because it takes it a while to show up in search for Spotify. And this was one of the things when Chris and I were creating playlists right before Christmas. He created one and I created one and we couldn't find each other's playlist. And we found out, you know, it takes a while for it to recognize it for search. But also there are so many playlists on Spotify. The things that help it Spotify know what is a more important playlist than another isn't just raw traffic to it. It's links coming in and other things. So get your playlist posted on like your band website, or if you have a blog or something like that. Even social posts help, and this helps, you know, Google crawls everything and all these links start pointing back to Spotify. And if a giant blog or website is linking to your playlist, even if it doesn't have many plays, Spotify might think it's more important. And so those are things that you want to do to just help tell Spotify that your playlist is there and it should be recommending it. And it also helps people find it, because a lot of people will go to Google to search for a playlist. So they might go mellow playlist Spotify, and Spotify's everything's indexed on the web, unlike some retail sites. So it'll pop up. So if you use some good keywords and know what people are searching for, and you have it posted on a website somewhere on the web, that'll help it pop up higher in those rankings.
Yeah. My next tip, I was going to credit to Ben Hubbard, who works with us. He has done this with a couple of the bands on his label. But the first is to create a catalog playlist. So this goes against the previous tip of only put one song per artist. But basically, the idea is you, in kind of reverse chronological order, you make a playlist of every song you've ever released, with the newest song right at the top. And then anytime you share a new song, a new single, you share the playlist link, which will have that latest song right at the top. And then when someone's done listening to that new track, they go on to the next song. The next song, suddenly they're into an experience of listening to way more than that, just that one song.
And that's sort of what we were trying to do with the playlist we built for Small Town Poets at Christmas. It was like a very Small Town Poets Christmas, and it was like our tracks, and we were trying to curate it similar like that, but we didn't have a giant catalog of Christmas stuff. But that was sort of the intent, that people would be who like our catalog and want to hear a lot of it, but don't want to just hear that. But yeah, so
well, when you guys start putting out stuff from your Memphis sessions, you could share it in that way.
Yeah.
Another idea that Ben had that I thought was really cool, and I'm going to try this soon, is to do a commentary playlist. So it's almost like, you know, when you watch a movie on a DVD, you can do the director's commentary or whatever. So this would be where you distribute to Spotify content that's, you know, audio content, you talking into a mic saying, hey, you know, this is why I recorded this album. Here's what this song is about. And then if you don't want to distribute it under your exact artist name, like, so for me, I wouldn't distribute it as Chris Robley, but I might make the artist name Chris Robley Radio or Chris Robley Commentary or something like that. And then once that's live on Spotify, you mix and match the tracks with the corresponding commentary, and you make a playlist that kind of gives people a little bit deeper experience of your music.
There's a playlist on our CD Baby account that we created that has that example, in sort of that example, but he did that, what you're describing, in order to put in what would appear like an audio ad, where he's just saying, hey, this has been from CD Baby. Please be sure to follow this playlist. It's the best new independent artist music. So that's how he had to do it, kind of distribute a track, mm-hmm. and then he could pull it in separately. I've got a couple more. Which one should I use? Okay, this one. Get a music community to work together on it, like your local scene. An idea would be like from, you know, here, like the Portland Sound or something, where, you know, you're trying to pull together a community of artists around a common theme, so everyone is motivated to promote that to their fan base and everybody wins, and building a big playlist around it. You know, you should be strategic the way you approach that, where it might be that, you know, there's lots of people that might be searching for, hey, I want to hear bands from this place. Or, you know, there's certain cities that go through periods of being the buzz city for, you know, musicians and music being created. Portland went through that a few years back. So lots of people were searching for Portland music and the Portland Sound and all that kind of stuff. So you could think about things that way more strategically. However you want to name it, but just getting a community together. It could be around a mood or a theme or something, but just getting a community of people so you're all harnessing each other's fan base in order to make this playlist grow. Because it doesn't matter what user creates the playlist. If the playlist is getting a lot of plays, everyone who's on that playlist benefits equally. So it's a matter of just, you know, harness the power of a group, get a community of people together and work on it together.
Yeah. And a related piece of advice would be, you know, in your example, it's a whole bunch of different people promoting the same playlist that they all appear on. But you could also do kind of like the buddy system, where it's like, hey, I'll add your song to my Lyrics in the Limelight playlist if you add one of my songs to your, you know, whatever, whatever playlist you're maintaining. So kind of just trading, which, you know, hopefully if you like the person's music, it doesn't seem like a ridiculous request.
And that brings up a good point that Charles was talking about when he was mentioning reaching out to playlist curators. Offer your fan base as leverage. Don't just say, add me to your playlist, because, you know, that doesn't do much. Where even, you know, with that instrumental post-rock playlist I created, there was several people that were like, hey, add me to your playlist. If they said, hey, add me to your playlist and I'll share it with my audience, I would have been done deal, you know, and right. Adding it to their, you know, just adding, you know, the request to add their music to my playlist, doesn't mean I won't, but I'm less motivated and it might be more of a, yeah, when I get around to it. But if you want to ensure somebody's highly motivated to get your music in their playlist, say, hey, I will share this playlist with my thousands of fans. You will become known as the best music curator on the history of the planet. They're going to add you in immediately. So
yeah, and I think you could be upfront with the size of your audience in different ways, you know, whatever your email subscriber list is, or the your social reach, or even like, even if you don't have a huge following, you could mention, well, I'm willing to put some advertising dollars behind this to, you know, to reach people on Facebook or whatever it is. I feel like a curator would be motivated by that.
Yeah, and Charles talked about that a lot, where you can tell if somebody's got a small amount of followers, that's probably going to be their biggest interest, is to get more followers for their playlist. So use that to your advantage. And, you know, it could be that their playlist is brand new and that they just made it a couple days ago, but it's one that's very worthy of getting in on, because it may attract a lot of followers. You can, another indicator of whether or not someone might be worth tracking down as a curator is if they have a lot of followers themselves and the playlist, you know, it looks new, but doesn't have a lot of followers for that particular playlist yet. It probably will get a lot of followers. It just might be that it's so new that all the curator's followers haven't jumped in yet. So that's a good indication of, hey, this is worth it. And maybe, you know, I'll help him out and then they'll get me added.
I had a quick list of playlist ideas I could run through. I think we've touched on some of them, but...
Yeah, let's go for it. And then we'll probably... I think that was all my tips. So we'll end with this list and...
All right. So, you know, genre or subgenre, obviously. You mentioned like a local scene. Your influences. So it could be, you know, the 20 songs that are the reason why you make music. And then you could also put in some of your own songs that kind of reflect that influence. So, you know, Kevin, I know you'd put in your most shredding slash style solo from your catalog into a Guns N' Roses context. Let's see, place of origin. It could be music made in Antarctica or music made in Portland, Maine, something like that. You can organize it by time. So, like, you know, the best songs of 2016 or the best songs of the 70s or best Christmas songs, anything that's sort of time related. Instrumentation. So I mentioned that before, like, you know, a song with a mellotron, we'll find a bunch of other songs that have a mellotron. Or, you know, if you have a string quartet that played on one of your songs, find other pop or hip hop or whatever your genre is that also has strings. Let's see, you mentioned themes, workout mix and coffee shop vibes, set lists, catalog. Oh, current favorites. This is one I always, if it's an artist I really like, I'm usually pretty interested in what they're listening to. So if it's like, hey, this is what's, you know, we're playing in the tour van right now, I always find that pretty charming. So yeah, those are some playlist ideas.
Yeah, and some of those ideas, your strategy may not be to just throw your tracks in everything. Like that last one that you mentioned, here's what we're listening to tour van. Some of it is just to get people engaging with your artist profile on Spotify so that they will follow you, so that they will follow your playlists, and that magic that happens on the back end with the Spotify algorithm helps recommend your music to other people. So,
and it's interesting that you could make a playlist consisting of entirely other people's music that still somehow like furthers your own artist story. Like, I feel like that gives people insight into what makes you tick as an artist, even though it doesn't have any of your own tracks.
Yeah, and it's a cool way, like you said, your artist story, a cool way for you to build that on a music platform in a place where people are, you know, engaging with music, and especially for artists that may not be able to tour much or do a lot of things. I think that's what's so cool about some of these opportunities. As long as you have music out there and you're making music, none of this was dependent on touring, which in the past, it always felt like I can't do anything to, you know, make my music look like there's life to it online. I'm not touring. It's like there's lots of opportunities here to do things, cool, interesting things that have nothing to do with being on the road and nothing to do with you being able to take Instagram photos of yourself in front of places that are intended to make other people jealous. So it's just, I think, really interesting.
Do we want to mention show.co?
Yeah, we can mention show.co.
Okay, so we're
getting like into real insider info at this point.
Yeah, well, I don't know what we're going to say about it, but in terms of CD Baby, but I'll mention that there is a service called show.co that has some really awesome music marketing tools, and I used one of them when I created a Christmas music playlist, where basically you can kind of gate any content online. So basically someone has to take an action before they can access what you're trying to share. So in the instance of me sharing this playlist, you had to follow me on Spotify or provide your email for my email list before you could get to it. So it was a really cool way to build my audience while sharing this. And I think in the first week of the playlist being out there, it had like a 50% conversion rate, which is, you know, in the marketing world, that's pretty good. So check out show.co.
Yeah, this is a new platform that we have acquired. So if you've made it this far in the podcast, congratulations. You have some insider. Here's your reward. And there's a free tier that you can sign up for free. And then there's some other tiers that you can pay for. But it's got some really cool ways to build your audience on Spotify. So check that out. You'll be hearing a lot more about it in the coming months. But yeah, that's something we're really excited to get out there, because it's the way it builds audiences off of Spotify is really, I hate using the word cutting edge, leading edge. I'll say leading edge.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mentioned sharing a playlist, but it really can be anything, you know, a PDF, an MP3, access to a YouTube video, you know, a private, or not a private, but an unlisted YouTube video. Pretty much anything that exists online, you can gate. And in order to unlock the gate, you could collect an email, you could build your following on Spotify, Twitter, SoundCloud. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And the pages look great too. It's very sleek.
Yes. Yes, they are sleek.
This is an advertisement, but it's really not, because I'm totally in love with the platform.
It is cool. And I forgot how we got on this topic. I'm thinking about that now, and I'm like, did we finish the podcast already? Is this the part where we start talking about football? But I think you still had some points you were making.
No, I just mentioned that I used it to share a playlist while also requiring that you follow me on Spotify. So it was building the following there while sharing playlists. So it might be an option for you if you create a playlist.
Yeah, I would just round things out saying that for this episode, saying that if you are doing things with playlisting, you have some thoughts or ideas or questions, let us know. We'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear some success people have been having with this. Someone posted some interesting stuff in the comment section for episode 180. So be sure to check those comments out. And if you want to call in or do any of that stuff, I'll give you that info in a minute. We're building some playlist for CD Baby. We just launched a coffee shop vibes playlist, and we launched a chill piano playlist. So part of it was to test some of this stuff we've been talking about, with knowing that there's a bigger audience readily available. And the response has been very exciting. We're building that up. So check those out. Follow us on Spotify. We'll be doing more with playlists and more information on how to get people to submit. That's going to be coming down the pike soon. letting artists say, hey, I want my song added, and we'll, you know, go on a list and we can see if we can do anything about it.
And if you're really on the ground floor with all this stuff and, you know, haven't had any songs added to any playlists, there is a collaborative playlist that CD Baby maintains called CD Baby Mixtape. So all you have to do is just go and follow that playlist and you can add one of your own songs to it. And it's a start.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it shows up in the search, but if it doesn't, there's an article called Six Primary Types of Spotify Playlists That Can Feature Your Song on the DIY Musician blog, and I've embedded it there so you can at least find it there if it doesn't show up in your Spotify player.
Yeah, so lots of good stuff, lots of exciting things. It's a whole new platform that has opportunity for independent artists. So if you've been seeing success, if you've got something to share, you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, or you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209, or you can weigh in on the comment section at the podcast website at podcast or at cdbabypodcast.com, and all the phone number and everything is there. And if you haven't listened to episode 180, go back and do so. I'm just excited about artists learning this stuff because I think it's really cool.
Me too. I'm addicted to Spotify and I am canceling my Apple Music account.
Apple Music. A few missteps there.
I've still hung on to the subscription for I don't really know why, but I've reached the point where I'm willing to let it go.
I still have mine, and the only reason is because my wife just started using it. My wife hates changing platforms like this, so like I finally got her off, you know, Apple Music and iTunes destroyed your personal catalog so badly, made it impossible to manage, that she finally started using Apple Music. And now I've told her I want to cancel that, and she just started, and she's like, great, now I've got to learn a whole nother thing. I'm like, how long do I let this ride before I do the inevitable?
I remember how excited we were, what was it, a year and a half ago when they launched?
They broke the feature that I loved the most. I loved the My Music feature where it was just all these visual album covers.
That was
covers.
The best part about it. All those recommendations, yeah.
And they got rid of a lot of that and tried to force Connect in there. And nobody wants to use Connect. And I said, that's it. So, yeah, interesting things. I love what Spotify is doing. Pandora is supposed to be launching their service soon, and I have a feeling that they will have features that are beneficial to the artist as well. With they already give artists access to data, so I'm assuming that they will continue down that path and provide tools that people can market to users on those platforms. And I think that makes it so amazing to be a musician and get music out there. So get your music out there this month, $29.
And follow me on Spotify.
Follow Chris on Spotify. Follow Small Town Poets on Spotify. Hit me up on Twitter and I'll follow you on Spotify if you hit me up on Twitter. I'm talking to the audience, not you, Chris.
I was like, I already follow you. Yeah, same with me. I'll follow you too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chris Robley, Robley.
All right.
That's my desperate plea.
See, our whole plan from the beginning was to do a podcast for 10 years and then wait till this moment at the very end of an episode where we're about to probably start talking about football to get people to follow us on Spotify. That's our whole plan, our master plan. So
brilliant. That's why we talked about MySpace for all those years.
Yeah, exactly. Just to get to this point. All right, well, there is the Super Bowl this weekend. Lady Gaga will be performing. It will be a spectacle, I'm sure.
I'm hoping she gets a few moments of protest in there.
And I'm hoping you'll still show up to work on Monday when the Patriots lose.
Oh, that's really not a possibility. But
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.